Show with Luke Brendam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Coming up on the show today, we'll cover off on what's happening with our borders. Also, a big jet ski rally yesterday here on the coast. They set a world record. We'll find out what that was all about. What's the best and the worst job to have in this heat wave that we're having here on the Gold Coast at the moment? We'll talk about that. Also, Casey Barnes joins us to discuss the double standards with regards to where crowds can and can't go at the moment with these COVID times. And Warnie has been spotted coming out of an adult store with a big shopping bag full of goodies. We'll cover off on that and a whole heap more on the catch-up, and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I'll tell you what happened to me yesterday, and it's been bugging me, and I want to get to the bottom of it. So I'm sitting at home yesterday, I don't know, probably 9:30 in the morning, and I live on the Narang River in a high rise on the Narang River, and I can just hear this enormous buzzing going on downstairs. I go to the balcony and I look over. I'm not joking. I reckon 150, maybe 200 jet skis are going up in procession up the Narang River with people dressed as Santa Claus. It was the weirdest thing. I went, this is really cool. Like I videoed it, whacked it up on my Instagram, but it was so obscure. And if you were one of the Santa Clauses on the jet skis yesterday, can you please tell me what you were doing? Joanna has called through. She's actually one of the organisers of the event. We can find out exactly what went down. G'day, Joanna. How are you?
Hi, how are you going?
So good. I'm really good. So what a day yesterday. So I was just hearing off air, it was a world record attempt. Is that right?
Yeah, so it was a huge day. It was actually a huge few months leading up to yesterday. We had a huge group of volunteers assisting behind the scenes, but we managed to get 156 jet skis together, dressed up in Santa and Christmas outfit to break a record and also to raise money for a charity.
So what was the previous record, before we get to the charity, what was the previous world record for jet skiers dressed as Santas on a, dressed as Santa on a jet ski? What was it?
I think it was around the 120 to 130. It was overseas. I can't recall the exact details, but it was a large number.
What an obscure record, and not insurmountable when you think about it. Like, it's not like we're talking about 20,000, 150 jet skis. It was quite a sight. And have you had that verification yet that it is officially a world record?
No, so at the moment the record is in review, so it can take up to 12 weeks. So right. we won't know for a little while, but we'll be checking the emails daily to see.
So how did it work, Joanna? Did you as an organiser have to go through and go, nah, mate, you haven't got a Santa outfit, you're not allowed to be part of the procession? Was there quality control?
No. It was we're all there to get together and raise money for a charity. The Guinness record attempt was something that we decided to include on the day. Everyone got involved and everyone did dress up. So
good on you. What was the charity?
The charity is Christmas Presents for Kids in Care. They're based down at the Gold Coast as well. So they're over the moon with the response that we had for everyone that signed up to do the jet ski ride. When we first advertised it, we didn't know how many we were going to get, but it quickly sold out and there was probably hundreds more people that wanted to join, but unfortunately we couldn't have everyone there due to some of the COVID requirements,
right,
and some of the waterways requirements as well.
Hey, Joanna, I'm smelling that you're going to be able to smash the record again next year. What a great initiative this is.
We are certainly, we're all a bit exhausted after the weekend, but we're definitely looking at getting together and thinking about what we can do next year.
Well, I applaud creativity, and this is very, very creative and for a great cause. And well done to you and everyone that dressed as Santa yesterday and cruised up the Narang River. It was quite a sight. It showcased the Gold Coast brilliantly. I think Gold Coast tourism should jump on board for 2021. And Joanna, well done to you. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. Have a good arvo.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
It is a hot one today, but a warmer temp's heading our way. But gee, I tell you what, here on the Gold Coast, compared to other parts of the state, we are getting let off so lightly with regards to this heat wave that's around the place. Temps up around the mid-40s for some areas around Western Queensland, and even Ipswich yesterday was up in the high 30s, nearly 40. It's going to be up in the 40s by Wednesday. That's the peak of this heat wave. Our peak temperature, the hottest it's going to get here on the coast, along the coast, is 32, and that is on Wednesday. But get this one. I was just doing the temps up for the news tonight for Channel 9 Gold Coast News. At the Seaway today, and even though it's been a hot day, and it really has felt hot, it's been 26 degrees at the Seaway today. And get this, that's 1 degree below average. So it's been 30 degrees down at Coolangatta, got to 33 degrees in Narang. So some parts of the coast have really copped it. But at the Seaway with the cooling sea breezes, it's been below average, 1 degree below average. 27 is our average and got to 26 today. But there are some people really copping it. And if you're working in Narang this afternoon, you'd be knowing about it. And I actually checked out. I'm going to have a look at what the hottest day on record here on the Gold Coast is. Drum roll, please. I'll tell you our hottest ever day. The warmest it's ever got at the Gold Coast Seaway on record, 40.5. That's our warmest ever. So we're nowhere near that. We're like 20 degrees below that today at the Seaway, and people are complaining. But here's what we want to do. We want to open the phones up right now. When it gets, Wednesday's our hottest day. That's going to be the peak of this heat wave. Who's got the best and worst jobs here on the Gold Coast for working in scorching hot temps? I don't know. I mean, I went out the other day to try and find my car after the dudes dropped it at a building site, and these dudes were working at the building site, and I was like, God, I'm lucky. I take for granted that I work in air conditioning. You know, working out on a building site's got to be tough, but maybe there's worse. Megan from Miami's called through. Go ahead, Megan. You think it's your partner?
My partner, yes, most definitely. He lays asphalt, which means the asphalt itself alone is 200 degrees plus. They have to wear long pants and long shirts for obvious reasons. So you can imagine he comes home exhausted.
Well, Brixie, you're playing that sound effect. Has he ever burned himself, Megan?
He's had tacks poured all over him, but not burned himself from the bitumen, no.
I tell you what, we might have a winner in you, Megan. Thanks for your call. Alistair from Merrimack. Go ahead, Alistair. What do you got for us?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I work fed antennas, crawling in loft spaces, running cables in fiberglass and God knows what else.
Yeah, you'd be ducking into dark rooms and stuff like that as well. That's a good one. Mark out of Hope Island. Oh, another asphalter. You actually asphalt, Mark?
No, mate, I dig trenches and put electrical and Telstra conduits in the ground. But we have to work right next to them.
Oh, you're backing up. You're saying the asphalters they've got it the worst.
Mate, they go through more water than God.
Fair dinkum. Yeah, that's a tough gig, mate. All right, Cindy from Maudsland. She might have a contender here. Go ahead, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Okay, my husband works in front of an 1,100-degree oven. Air melting steel. So they're making springs for your cars, you know, your leaf springs, your coil springs, that's what they do. So
where does he do this, Cindy?
Sorry?
Whereabouts is it? Is this here on the coast?
Yeah, it's here on the Goldie. It's at Activity Crescent, I think it is, in I'm shocking. Where is it? He's only been working there for 25 years.
Like at Ashmore or whatever. So fair dinkum, and it's an 1,100-degree oven.
Pretty much, yes.
Unreal. Oh, mate. And so what an absolute legend.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Last day of spring today, first day of summer tomorrow. But the big news is our borders reopen tomorrow, 1st of December.
Hey, right on.
And, all the barricading you see down there at the border at the moment, we've seen for the last few months, has got to get packed up. Rob Morrison from Nine News joining us right now. Hey, mate, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. Big day for us all.
Yeah, well, mate, I was thinking that the borders reopening would spell an end to the delays that we've seen down there on and off over the last few months. But they're saying in the online at the moment that we could have massive delays as the barricades and all that sort of stuff gets packed up.
Yeah, that's right. The reality is it's going to take quite a long time. And also you're going to have a whole wave of people now, those from Sydney as well as Victoria, who may already be in the car and starting to head this way. We just heard from police not long ago, actually, and they're saying that one of the big problems is they've actually got to move all of these really, really heavy road barriers, and that's going to take quite a bit of time. So in the middle of that, they're trying to get that done when the border actually opens later tonight. And then on the top of that, we're going to see a lot more people trying to get in. So they are saying if you can, and you have been waiting for a long time to get into the state, the best thing you probably do is actually wait a couple of days.
Right. And so what time is it? It's 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, Rob.
Yes, that's right. So 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, we will see those from Greater Sydney and those from Victoria finally allowed to come into Queensland. And that is no small number of people. We are talking around 12 million people all up are now allowed to come to the Sunshine State. That's nearly half of Australia's population who have had locked out up until tomorrow morning.
And is there any indication, has anyone been able to figure out exactly how many people are expected to come in over the next week or so?
Well, they're talking thousands. So I was speaking to Brisbane Airport not long ago, and they're saying at the moment we're seeing an average number of around 15,000 passengers coming into Brisbane Airport a day at the moment. That is expected to jump to up to 30,000 in a day in just the next few days and right up into the run until Christmas. So you are talking about thousands and thousands of more people now getting into Queensland.
Unreal. Hey, Rob, we'll see your comprehensive report tonight on Nine News. Appreciate your update, mate. Thanks very much.
Not at all. See you then.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
As we look to get rid of our border restrictions in the next sort of 24 hours or so, one Gold Coast musician is calling out for the restrictions in our clubs to be lifted. And I kind of read an article yesterday on this in the Sunday Mail, and I went, God, he's making some decent points. Casey Barnes is joining us right now. G'day, mate. How are you?
Hey, mate.
I got to admit, mate, I'm a headline reader rather than a whole article reader, but the headline was basically, how come you can have 52,000 at the Suncorp Stadium, but you guys can't have capacity crowds in your music venues? And that kind of makes sense to me. It does seem like a double standard.
It does, mate. And actually, I've got to clear something up really quickly when you talk about reading headlines. And it's interesting. I think the Courier Mail posted something on Facebook yesterday, right? And they've mentioned one part of the story which has nothing to do with me, and then a couple of my comments under it, and then people have not read the story and misinterpreted and thinking that I'm part of some class action against the Queensland government, which couldn't be further from the truth. I think the only point that I was making was we were lucky enough to play at Suncorp Stadium, and it was fantastic and had no issues with it at all. It was great to see, you know, a full stadium of people enjoying a sporting event. But then on the flip side, a couple of days later, we're playing in a local music venue to 80 people because of the COVID restrictions. And I think there's a bit of grey area there and a bit of confusion where people are sort of just like, you know, I think the restrictions don't really reflect where we're at now. I think, the live music sector and venues are ready to open things up a little more and get things going again. And it just, I don't know, I was just sort of speaking out on behalf of a lot of other musicians and the little guys behind the scenes that haven't worked all year, the sound guys and the lighting guys and the guys in bands that have just been struggling and the venues. So it was just a little point that I think, you know, needs to be taken into consideration maybe.
And is the bottom line, Casey, that you're allowed to play to big crowds outside, but inside they think there's a risk still with COVID, so you have to have... you can't have capacity crowds in locked up venues, in closed areas.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I get that. Don't get me wrong. I totally understand it's a different environment. But I think the restrictions are still really quite full on for outdoor music events too. So, you know, it's great that we can get 50,000 people into Suncorp. It's great that we can pack out the Gabba for the grand final, no dramas. And that all seemed to go really, really well. And there were no issues. But for outdoor music events, the restrictions are still really quite full on. You know, I think you can get 1,500 people max. It's pretty crazy.
Okay, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. That's ludicrous. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
If you can have, unless there's some medical evidence that says that COVID doesn't spread at rugby league games as easily as it spreads at country music festivals, then there's no basis for this.
It is. I mean, you know, and I'm not an expert, you know, that's one thing I want to make clear. I'm just a, you know, a simple musician trying to go out there and do what I do for a living. And I don't have any issues against whatever the you know, the most educated medical experts are saying. But I think there's a lot of people that are just confused, you know what I mean? And it's and I don't blame them for being confused when you can have one thing happening here and then on the other. Now, we just finished doing a regional tour of Queensland, and we were most nights, you know, restricted to 100, 150. Some venues were like 80 people they were allowed to fit because of the COVID restrictions. And it's, yeah, it's tough, you know, it's tough for everyone involved in the whole, this whole sector.
That stuns me. I don't have an answer for you either. That just seems like a double standard all day long. But, mate, appreciate your time this afternoon. Thanks so much, mate.
Anytime. No dramas, mate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Over the weekend, I saw a photo of Warnie coming out of an adult store with a big package of... no. He had a bag. Big package bag. He wasn't Greg Normaning the deal. He came out with a bag of goods from an adult store. And, mate, no shame whatsoever, and good on him. I always get nervous. Like, I'm a fully grown man now. When I go into those stores occasionally, we've got a few of them here on the coast, I go in and I honestly reckon they should hand out, like, face masks or something when you go in, because I get all embarrassed. And there's no need to be. I go in there and the lady, it's usually a lady behind the counter, she's like, can I help you? Oh, let me show you this, let me show you that. And, you know, it's as if you're sort of walking around looking for new shoes or something. But she's, you know, there's no embarrassment whatsoever with Warnie. He was like, oh, yeah, I'll go in there. Yep, no dramas whatsoever. And I always laugh because I've had a couple of incidences which I've found funny. There's, for me, if I go into an adult store, I don't want to run into anybody I know. I don't want to get eye contact with anyone. And I certainly don't want to be photographed coming out of there with a big, you know, shopping bag full of goodies. That's just me. I'm prudish like that. I'm not as cool as Warnie. But I remember one schoolies year, and this was, honestly, mate, this would have been 10 years ago. I'm with my mate Graham, and we're running through Surfers Paradise during schoolies week. It's about 7 o'clock at night. We're finishing off our run, and there used to be a big shop there. It might still be there. It's called Condom Kingdom. You remember that joint? It's still there. Okay, so a schoolie is coming out of Condom Kingdom. It's a chick, right? And she's bought all this stuff in Condom Kingdom. And she's running to family friends, and she's holding a big bag straight at him, and it was just funny. God, I laughed. What are you up to? Oh, nothing. The most embarrassing moment I ever had running into someone was about 10 years ago. I had a vasectomy. And part of the whole, the way a vasectomy works is you've got to go back and you've got to check that it works. And the way that you have to do that is they give you like a specimen jar and you've got to go away. So this was at Benowa. Okay. The vasectomy joint was at Benowa. They gave me a specimen jar. I had to go home, which was at Isla Capri, fill it up. And then bring it back within the hour, okay? So I have, and I am so embarrassed by it, all right? Because the girl at the reception, it was just horrendous. I knew I had to come back and hand her this specimen jar, and that can't be a good day in the office for her. I don't want to have eye contact or anything. I pull up in my car. And I just bolt in, and as I'm running into the drop it off, a lady goes, Luke, how? And it was a friend's mother. And I'm holding a specimen jar, going into a fertility clinic. And she says, what? I'm going to tell you who it was. Do you guys know? Do you guys know Talitha Cummins? She was, yeah, okay. It's Talitha's mum, Kay. She's a friend of mine. I run into Kay, right? And Kay's like, what are you up to? And we start talking about Talitha. And what are you doing here? And I'm literally holding the specimen jar. It was so embarrassing for me. And then I had to go in and I had to wait in line with the specimen jar and then drop it off. Oh, mate.
How dare you?
What an idiot. So embarrassing. If I had the bravado of Warnie, I'd have been like saying, okay, I would have been going, oh, yeah, it's just a specimen jar. Yeah, I've just filled it up, yeah. I just gave it to myself and, yeah, just going to drop this off now. But Warnie's got no shame. I'm not like that. I wish I was. Hey, anyway, we're racking off out of here now. Thank you so much for your company today. We really appreciate it. Back tomorrow afternoon for your local drive home from 4. Copy you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.